Exodus chapter 25, stand together please. And let's start reading tonight, verse number 17. And we'll read down a few verses from there. We dealt with some of this a couple of weeks ago. We'll deal with this tonight. Exodus chapter number 25, verse 17. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. You can be seated. I want to look at this tonight in the mercy seat. This tonight, and I want to say this in the reverence and in at the same time, and in way of introduction and for information, we are talking about probably the most holy piece of equipment in the entire tabernacle. You will not find anything any more precious nor any more, serious as the Ark of the Covenant and the Mercy Seat. The only other thing that would surpass it would be the very presence of God Himself. Amen? That would be the only thing that would surpass it. But it's all the furniture and the pieces of furniture that we put together in the ark as God's given Moses the dimensions and so forth, how to make it. The Ark of the Covenant is the most sacred of all of it. And I'd like to entitle the thought tonight, Where God Meets Man, or Where God Met Israel, I guess is the way we'll put it, Where God Met Israel. And we'll see that tonight as we look here. In verse number 17, we talked about the mercy seat the other day, and how that it's built exactly like the size of the ark. Now, we went through how that it was set up as being 2.5 cubits wide and 2.5 cubits high. And what is it? He talks about how that it's going to be 2 cubits and a half, the length and so forth. But he don't give us how thick the mercy seat is. You remember I told you that? But the ark, we'll see if you look at it. And I don't give you no inches and feet. And the reason I don't, I'll kind of give you an area of it, because as much as I've studied on it, I've never found too many that's come up with the same figure. One says a cubit is this, and another says a cubit. I'll guarantee you, your Bibles that you have, I don't have footnotes of no kind in my Bible. It's just plain Scripture. And I don't have no references, so I have to just rely on what the Word says. But I'll guarantee you some of your footnotes are going to tell you one thing, and the next fellow sitting over from you in your footnotes will tell you something else. And I'm not going to put much stress upon that. I'll just go by what God said out of the Bible, and it depends on what measurements you use. But it's somewhere in the area of close to 4 to 4.5, or say 3.5 to 4.5 feet long, and 2.5 to 3 feet high, and 2.5 to 3 feet wide. Now that's basically what it is. So in an area, it's a rectangular piece of plunder, and God put it together. I don't mean that in a bad way when I say plunder tonight either. But anyhow, it's overlaid with gold. It's made out of the acacia wood, overlaid with gold. We talked about that being the humanity of Christ. We're talking about the ark now. But the mercy seat sit exactly upon the Ark of the Covenant. And it's set there. Now we know that that word ark means a chest for safekeeping. It's something where they kept their cherished items. And we know that Moses was in an ark, and he was treasured, and God kept him. Amen. And we know that Noah built an ark, and God took care of the Israelites, said there were 8 of them. And God took Noah, and it's also a type of the church riding out the storm. Say amen there. And we know that God had precious cargo in the ark. And then we find here that God has protected the ark, and all three of them are used for protecting and covering and keeping something. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute maybe. But I want to look at these. We'll see this. There's only two items in the tabernacle that are made out of pure gold. The mercy seat does not have no wood to it. No wood involved in it. It's all pure gold. And the reason it don't have no depth to it to tell you how thick it is simply because it's a mercy seat and God's mercy is infinite. You can't put a limit to it or a price on it. Amen. So God did not tell us how high it was. But we'll find it's made of pure gold. The only other thing in the tabernacle that's made out of pure gold was the candlestick. And it's got seven shoots to it. The first one up the middle, and then there's one that comes off, or one branch, and then another branch, which puts up two more candles, and another branch, and then we find that we've got seven branches. And so we'll see those when we get with it. We're not going to deal with that tonight. But that's the two pieces of furniture in the tabernacle that God specifically said, I want it made out of pure gold. And the reason is because God, and gold represents the deity of Christ, the deity of God, and the divineness of God, and only God can give mercy. We can't give mercy. We don't know how to give mercy. We're merciful to a lot of people. A lot of people are merciful to us. But nobody knows mercy like God knows mercy. And then on top of that, the candlestick gives light, and nobody can give light but God. Amen. So He's the light of men. So we look at that, and when we come to it, we will deal with those things. Now, as we look at this thing, we'll find that there's the mercy seat. On each end of the mercy seat are two cherubims. And the cherubims are God's creations, and they are always in protection, trying to protect things. They're the guardians of God's holiness, if you will. You remember, and I talked about this a little bit when I finished up the last lesson, and that was that God put two cherubims at the outset of the Garden of Eden, and they had flaming swords, and they turned with the flaming swords, and God said, what you do is you cannot come through this. And what God meant was, you can't come back in the Garden of Eden and eat of the tree of life and live in your sinful state from now on. God did not want man to do that. God said, you must be redeemed and bought with a price and paid for. And so God, not because God didn't want us to come back into the Garden of Eden, but simply because He did not want us to, get the place that we couldn't be redeemed. And if a man had went back in there and eaten the tree of life, he'd have been lost in his sin forever. There'd have been no hope for his soul. He'd have died without God. And God said, I've got to have a remedy for that. So I'm going to keep them from eating of the tree of life. And so that's what He did. So we'll see this. Now, notice what it said about these cherubims. And first of all, let me just mention this to you. In verse number 18, you'll find the word cherubims. In the verse 19, you'll find the word cherub. And the word cherub again, and you'll find the word cherubs again in that verse. Three times that word is mentioned. Then in verse number 20, it's mentioned one time. And mentioned two times in verse number 20. And then if you look at them when you get home, see if you can find them. And then in verse number 22, you'll find it mentioned one more time. Count them up and you'll find out God put it in there seven times in this ark to let you know His perfect number, He's on schedule. Amen. Now, let's look at something else about these. The Bible said in verse number 18, and thou shalt make two cherubims. Two. Why did God say two? Two is testimony. Two is witness. God said these two are going to witness. These two are going to testify. Amen. To what? To the glory of God and to the mercy of God. And that's what they were. Now He said here, thou shalt make verse 18, and thou shalt make two cherubims of gold. Then He said, of beaten work. What does it mean, of beaten work? They were beat out of one piece of gold. Now, I've read after a lot of folks and tried to figure this out and figured it as best I can from the Word of God. And what I can get from the Bible is that they took this mercy seat, one piece of gold, and they beat it out to where that the cherubims were beaten out of one piece of gold. Now, that's why God gave them wisdom. You remember I talked about the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Dan. You remember us talking about that the other day. And God made those two, what, Aholiab and what is he, an Eliezer, whatever his name was. I'd have to go back and look now. But we know that God gave them wisdom in all beaten works and those sort of things. Now, it was amazing how that they could take gold and beat it out into this one piece that's got two cherubims on the end. Amen. Now, let's look at that. There's a reason for that. If you look in verse number 18, it said a beaten work. That's important that you see that. Mark it in your Bible. Anytime you find something that says beaten, bacon, bruised, burned, crushed, pierced, roasted, every time you find out about the tabernacle and all about the sacrifices in Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, anytime you find them words mentioned when it's according to sacrifices, it's simply saying that is representing the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It cost the Lord something for you to be saved tonight. It was, you said it's a free gift, didn't cost me nothing. It didn't cost you nothing, but it cost the very life of the Son of God when He died on the cross of Calvary and He suffered in agony like no man has ever suffered. Nobody's ever suffered like Jesus suffered on the cross of Calvary, and He wasn't even guilty. Brother, He was the innocent dying for the guilty tonight, and He did not deserve it, but He paid the price. Thank God. When you see the beaten bacon and the piercing and all that, it's signifies and demonstrates tonight how that Jesus suffered, and His sufferings were mighty and His sufferings were great. Amen. I'm glad that He suffered for me. Amen. I am. I'm glad that He suffered for me. Now, we look at this. Inside the Ark of the Covenant and overlaid with the mercy seat, inside that Ark, we went across this the other day, but I'll mention it again, were three things that God had placed in there. Number one, He had put two tables of stone that had the Ten Commandments or the Word of God on it. You remember I said a while ago that the cherubims are overlooking, and that's what it says in the Word of God, and I said that they're God's agents that God uses as guardians of His holiness. They're guarding on that mercy seat. They're guarding down inside that Ark of the Covenant. They're guarding these stones, these tables of stone with the Word of God, which means God has preserved and is preserving and always will preserve His unadulterated Word of God. You've got a copy of God's Word tonight, and we've got the real, I believe, real copy of God's Word, not the ones that God first pinned down by His finger on the rock. Amen. Somebody said, it's not original. Amen. Nobody else has got it either. But you know what God has done? He's preserved the precious Word of God. Amen. And we have a copy of God's precious Word. You got the King James Bible tonight. You've got a copy of God's preserved Word for English-speaking people. And we'll look at that tonight here. I'm telling you, God has preserved it down through the years. So that was put in there, and the cherubims are looking over, and they're protecting, and they're guarding. And brother, God has guarded it with His entire life, His eternal life. Amen. Down through the years. That's why they have not torn it away and thrown it away completely. We still got a copy of it. Somebody said, will they ever get to the place that they'll do away with God's Word? No, sir. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. God made us a promise, it'll never leave. They may turn against us on the side for us to not following anything but the King James Bible. They may crucify us. They may kill us and burn us at the stake. They may haul us off to jail. But God is preserving His Word. And when Jesus comes and splits the sky, brother, the saints of God are called out of here. Somebody will be waving a King James Bible somewhere. Thank God, I believe God's going to preserve the Holy Word of God tonight. Amen. I'm glad I got me a copy of it. I better hide it in my heart before they take the rest of it away. You better too. Now, the second thing that's put inside that ark, what is it? The second thing is Aaron's rod that budded. Aaron's rod that budded. They put it in the tabernacle one night. It budded. It brought forth blossoms. Amen. And it brought forth almonds. And they went in the next day just one night. It had already budded, blossomed, and brought forth almonds. Now, that's a miraculous thing, is it not? Amen. And it's showing us tonight that God, brother, is protecting and preserving and taking care of it. Now, what's it a type of? It's a type of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's Son. God said here, I want you to know that that's what it's all about. And I believe the Old Testament points to Jesus coming. I believe the Old Testament points to Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary. I believe the Old Testament points to His resurrection on the third day. Amen. That's what we're preaching. That is the gospel. I'm telling you, God said, I want that put in as a memorial. And here's what He said. Cherubims, you guard over this thing and take care of it. Amen. Thousands of years later, I'm standing in the pulpit preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ because it's been preserved and taken care of. Brother, somebody be preaching that when Jesus comes. When I'm gone and laying in the graveyard, somebody will still come forth and preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad I got news of that. Praise God. I preached and some of them's done gone. Amen. They were preaching it before I got here. I'm preaching it now. One day when I'm gone, they'll be preaching it. Thank God, God will raise him up a little crowd that'll go down the road and not be ashamed to preach the gospel of the glorious grace of God. Alright. The third thing put inside that ark. What is it? The third thing was the pot of manna. And it was a golden pot of manna, which represents the deity. Why was it put in a golden pot? Gold represents what? Deity, the divinity of God. Amen. And so what does that manna represent? It represents the bread of life. And it teaches us and tells us that God will not leave us nor forsake us, but God will provide. Amen. God will provide our needs according to His riches in glory. Got so much I want to say. Brother, I don't know what we'll get through. We may have to. I was hoping we'd get through this one tonight and try to get on to another. But we may not get through this tonight. But we'll find that God put that in. And He said, hey, what that's a type of cherubims, I want you to guard this. And I want this to go down through all mankind. That I will be with my people. That I'll take care of them. I'll meet their needs. I'll feed them. I'll clothe them. I'll take care of every need they have that comes up. God's teaching us that. And I can look back and say, thank God, He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never let me down. He's always been there. He gave a promise. Amen. He said, cherubims, look over it now. Guard it for me. Amen. And so they have. They're there. Now these are three things that we're talking about that's divine. And God's still taking care of them today. Now we see that. Now, I want you to notice something. What is it called? I'm not talking about the cherubims now. We're going to talk about them a little bit more in a minute. But what am I talking about tonight? That piece of gold that's put on top. What? It's called what? Mercy. Okay, there you go. Mercy seat. Now if you go through the tabernacle and you go into the outer court, you'll find the laver, the brazen laver. You'll find the altar. And that's where they sacrifice. And then they have the laver. They have the altar, and then they have the laver. The laver is made out of the looking glasses of the ladies. And it's filled with water. And they wash themselves. They offer the sacrifice. They wash themselves. God wants clean people to enter into His work. They take that blood, they step inside the holy place. Behind the veil, they go behind the veil, the first veil that is, and they take the blood, they sprinkle it on the three pieces of furniture, the golden candlestick, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense. Those three things are in there. And then they take that blood, and they go next time into the Holy of Holies. And when they get in there, they sprinkle the blood. They do it seven times. And brother, it's a blood-sprinkled altar there. And it's the mercy seat. Now, there's no other place in there that you call a seat. Brother, the priest could not go in and sit down. He couldn't sit down in the outer court. He couldn't sit down in the inner, in the middle court. And he couldn't sit down in the inner court. But there's one that could. And that's where God dwells. And God can sit down because He's the one that said, it's finished. Brother, He can sit down. But the priest could not sit down. See, because his work was never done. He had to constantly, continually, day by day, year after year, offer a sacrifice. And he could not sit down. There's no sitting down to be done until the Lamb of God came. Now He's seated tonight at the right hand of the Father. That's the significance that you'll see when we look at these things. Now, that means it's God's throne among men. If you look at this, you'll find it's the seat where God sits. Look at verse number 22, will you? Of chapter 25. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above. Where? The mercy seat. From between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark. That's where God is going to meet His people. Now let me give you two or three verses in some other portions of the New Testament. I'll write these down and let's turn to them. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 4. I want to hurriedly look at these scriptures and we'll go on. There's just a lot of ground we need to cover tonight. In 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible said, "So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring forth hence the Ark of the Covenant," that's what we're talking about with the mercy seat on it, "of the Lord of hosts," which what? Notice this next words. Which what? "Dwelleth between" where? "The cherubims." Alright, I just wanted to show you that I'm not making up something. That's just only one. I know it's mentioned there in 25th chapter. But look over in 2 Samuel now. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 6. When you get to 2 Samuel chapter number 6, look at verse number 2. It said, "And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that" what? "Dwelleth between the cherubims." And on and on it keeps talking about it. It's mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 50, over in the book of Psalms and lots of other places. I'm not giving to you tonight. Now there's two things about this where the cherubim were and the mercy seat. I just read it to you, but I'll read it to you again in case you didn't catch it. Chapter 25 of the book of Exodus and verse number 22, God said two things here. First of all, He said, "And there I will meet with thee." That's where God meets me. That's what I said tonight. Where God met Israel. God didn't meet Israel just anywhere in the wilderness. God didn't meet them at the front of the tabernacle. God met them in the Holy of Holies, where no man was to go. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you, I want you to know as you look at these things, and you see the significance of it. God said, "Hey, I want to meet you right there between them cherubims on the mercy seat." I'm glad when God meets me, and when God meets you, it's on the mercy seat. Amen. I thank God for the mercy of God. I don't want the judgment of God, and the judgment of God had already fallen on us had we all not had the mercy of God. Now, I want to remind you of this one thing before I tell you the other reason that He met with them there. And that is this. Suppose God had put the ark in there and left the top open. There was no mercy seat. Now what would happen then? We're facing a broken law that man can break. Now what, we got a law in there? Hey, there's nobody in this building but what haven't broken the law of God. You've broken every law under the book, just about it, in the Word. You've been astray. You're wrong. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm glad when the broken law is presented before God in our life, it's up because the mercy seat is on top of it. God's not saying, "Hey, I'm going to look the other way and let you get by with it." No, He's not saying that. He said, "Hey, I've already paid the price. I've took your place. And judgment's not going to fall on you even though you broke the law." Amen. But you've got to come through blood. And we're going to talk about the significance of that in just a minute. Amen. Now look at something else. This thing said in verse 22, "And there I will meet with thee," second, "and I will commune with thee." Now you know what communion is? It means talking with. Amen. Now you young folks ought to know what I'm talking about because you commune all the time. You got one of them things stuck up on the side of your head and your text and all that other stuff. That is communion. Now God said, I'll swear I'm going to meet you there at the mercy seat. And not only going to meet you there, but I'm going to talk to you. And that's where I'm going to commune with you. Now when God communes with you, He does not commune with you over an open ark of the covenant. God communes with you at the mercy seat. Because you have no right to ever step foot into the throne of God had there not be a mercy seat. The mercy of Christ tonight keeps us and lets us come to the throne of God. We come by His mercy. We come by His grace. And we come there. Listen, you have no right to face God in your sinful condition. But it's by the mercy of God that we can have the right to come to the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. Now we'll see a lot of things in these things as we look at it tonight. Now I want us to go back down just a little bit about these cherubims. And I'll try to clear this up. And we'll just get on out of here, alright? The Bible said that they, first of all, were facing each other. And they had an attraction. By facing each other, they had some common object. What was the common object? The mercy of God. And what did they put on the mercy seat? I'm not talking about the way it's made up. Let me rephrase my question. What did the priest do when he come in with the sacrifice? What did he put on the mercy seat? What? Blood. That's the only way that the priest could come in. Did he not have blood, he would have been killed. Right? All right. Now the mercy, they're looking down on the mercy seat. There's a common thing. The cherubims are looking at each other and they're looking down, by the way, if you look at it. They're looking down on the mercy seat facing each other. As they're facing each other, they're looking down. They've got a common thing in mind, and that is the blood of Christ brings the mercy of God. And so they've got a common thing. Now listen to me tonight. I've got a common denominator. You know what Jude said? He talks about the common salvation. Amen. We've all got a common salvation. Now I'm going to heaven tonight, not because I've got a bald head and blue eyes. I don't have blue eyes anymore, but green eyes. Not because tonight I'm a certain height and born of a certain family. Not because tonight I'm a preacher. Not because people give me presents over a lot of things. I'm going to heaven tonight because of one thing, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away my sin, and I've received the grace of God because I repented and called upon Jesus. Now, I've got news for you. You're not going to get there by the same way. So we got a common denominator. We got a common salvation. So they were looking down together. They not only looked at each other and looked down, but they were in adornment, I guess, or they were in adoration, if you will. They were adoring what God had done. And by there looking down, they were proclaiming God's mercy on a broken law. They were proclaiming God's mercy. And we'll look at this thing. Now, I want to point out this a little bit. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Let's turn back to 2 Samuel. I believe we were over there a while ago, but let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I want us to look at a little bit of something here in 2 Samuel. And notice something tonight. God says this is sacred. This is holy. What I'm talking about tonight's holy. It's not something we can tread with and play with. But in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, look at verse number 3. I believe we read verse number 2 a while ago. But let's look at verse number 3. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. You remember the Philistines have taken the ark of the covenant, which is a type of the presence of the Lord. They were in fighting. They were in a battle with the Philistines. And Eli was the priest. And Hophni and Phinehas were his sons. And they were wicked sons. And they lost the battle. And the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant. When the Philistines got the Ark of the Covenant, they thought they had something. But when they put it up in there beside old Dagon, they took him down there, took the Ark of the Covenant and put it in there beside Dagon. Amen. Now, Dagon was their god. And when they went back the next morning, Dagon had fell off the wall. Amen. And busted himself off. I guess that's where they get Humpty Dumpty. But Dagon had fell off the wall and messed him up. Amen. And then they got disease and sickness. And they said, "We can't put up with this. We're going to get rid of him." They put that ark on a cart and sent it down the road. We can't put... You know, that's a type of what the world can't do with God. Amen. They can't handle God. That's why they make fun of you when you say, "Hey, we had a real meeting and God blessed us and we had souls saved and had a revival." They get stirred up. They say, "What in the world are they talking about?" They wouldn't know the presence of God if they seen it. And if they had God's presence in their midst, they wouldn't know what to do with it. And so what happened? David said, "We're going to go get that." That's what he said. So in verse number 3, "And they set the ark of God upon a new cart." Amen. You're going to haul something for God, better get something new. That's what David thought now. "And brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah." And I could talk about this. This ain't just happened the other day. This has happened some days past. And they stayed down there a long time. And David seen how they was blessed. And so he went to get it. And Uzzah, notice this, and Uzzah
And Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart, or drove it. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. He went leading the way. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries, and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. I noticed they didn't have no drums. Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in. I don't believe the church is a place for drums. Amen. Boom, 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 boom. All right. And when they came to Nashon's threshing floor, Uzza put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Now, can you just see Uzza? He thinks he's doing God a favor. He thinks he's doing himself a favor. He thinks he's doing the Israelites a favor. And it said, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzza, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Now, if you don't think this is a sacred piece of equipment, brother, you better stop and think about it. You better watch the way you handle God's Word. I fear for these people who's been changing the Word of God for years and kind of thinking they're getting by with it. Hear me now. I believe they better keep their hands off God's Word. You said, well, why in the world would God kill Uzza? He's helping things. Remember when I give you the outset of this thing in chapter 25 of the book of Exodus, that they put four gold rings, one on each corner, took two staves and made wood and overlaid it with gold, and those two staves will be put in there and never taken out. And that's what they've done. They've buried it on the shoulders of men and they carried it. God made a way of carrying the Word of God. God wants His Word carried correctly today. That's why it's important. And God's got high standards for the pulpit. Amen. We can just keep on preaching on this. And you see how it fits in today, don't you? Now, let's go on. So Uzza got killed because he did that. You said, well, looks like God wouldn't have done that to him. I believe he had been instructed. And David had forgotten. Maybe some of them had forgotten it. But somewhere down the road, in the line, in the lineage of the people, they knew. God teaches us to stay with the old paths. Don't deviate off the beaten path. God tells us to stay with it. You may forget it and get off of it, but God won't forget it. Go to chapter number 6 and verse number 12. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom. You see, he left it there for a while. He said, well, I'll give up on this for a while. Well, Obed-Edom started getting blessed. Matter of fact, you'll see in verse 11 up there that he continued in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him. Now, he said, the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom in verse 12, and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. You reckon how he got it the second time? That's right. He carried it the right way the second time. And that's when his wife got all upset, and they danced before the Lord, and he had a good time all night, and his wife got mad at him. Amen. Fellas, you get full of God, your wife might get mad at you. Ladies, you get mad, you get full of God, and your husband might get mad at you too. Amen. And maybe you get right with God, and you just have a Holy Ghost meeting, and both of you get right, and it'll be good. Amen. I want to mention one more thing right quick, and I know I'm over time. Those cherubims, and read this when you get home. Chapter 1 of the book of Ezekiel, and chapter 10 of the book of Ezekiel. It'll explain to you a vision that Ezekiel had about the cherubims. In chapter 1, it don't say anything about the cherubims, but chapter 10 talks about the cherubims. And when you get down there a little bit further, it said, these are the same visions that I saw at Chebar. And if you'll find out in chapter 1, he's telling you about the vision of Chebar. So it's the same, one and the same. Those cherubims had four faces. They had four wings. Two wings that covered themselves and two wings they flew. And they had those, and then they had the face of a man. They had the face of an ox. They had the face of a lion. And they had the face of an eagle. And you remember I preached on this sometime back. I didn't use this portion. I'm just going to show you God is in there more than one time telling you the same things. And they're a type of the gospel. The book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, and the book of John. Now you know the story. I've gone over this and I'll not spend much time with it. And we know that the lion is the king of the jungle. And the king is portrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ as a king, is portrayed in Matthew. So the lion is representative of the book of Matthew. And then the ox. Now in chapter number 10, it said the face of a cherub. But if you go back in chapter 1, it mentions the face of an ox. So that must be what the face of a cherub must be. Not what I've seen down through the years in pictures of people drawing. It's like the pictures of Christ. Have you ever seen people draw the picture of Christ, a long-haired hippie hanging on the wall? I've never agreed with that. I've seen some pictures of Jesus. Even in Jesus' day, Herod and some of them had short hair. Go back and look at your books and study those things. I do not believe Jesus had long hair down over his shoulders. He wouldn't have written to us 1 Corinthians. Well, I'm just getting into so much stuff. Amen. Going to get to meddling here if we don't quit. But anyhow, we'll find that the eagle is representative of John because it's the Son of God. He flies high. And that's why he's representative. And we find that the ox is a type of the book of Mark because Jesus is pictured as a suffering servant. And the picture of man, Jesus was the Son of Man, and that's the phrase that's recorded in the book of Luke. And so you'll find it. And so he's trying to say to us, God's give us all... Listen, the New Testament and the Old Testament are so tied together that I don't understand why anybody wants to try to separate them. I wouldn't know what to do tonight without the Old Testament, and I wouldn't know how to preach without the New. Amen. I'm glad God... Listen, God put it in Volume 1 and Volume 2. And if He didn't need it, He did put a Volume 3, but He didn't need it. He's let everybody under the sun just about it right there on volumes. Amen. They've come out with all these other things. But we don't need nothing but the new and the old. We've got the old covenant and the new covenant. That's all we need. Where God met man at the mercy seat. Now, we've just scratched on this twice. And I'm telling you, we have not exhausted it yet. There's so much things that I've overlooked and forgotten. Some things I've even plain forgotten. I know because I can't get it back. I said, there was something about this. I just can't remember. Now, don't hold me guilty. I mean, don't hold me too bad. You've forgotten a few things yourself. And that makes it interesting because I've got to go back and study it again. Amen. That's what I believe that's the reason God lets us forget some of it so we can go back and get it again. Amen. We learned it all and could remember it all. We'd quit studying. Amen. I appreciate you tonight. I hope that's helped you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank God for the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, God started from the inside, but when man gets in to there, he's got to come from the outside. And we'll find that God come down inside and worked his way out to man, but man's got to work his way in to God. And God meets him. Where does God meet him? At the mercy seat. Amen. Through blood. Let's stand tonight. Thank God for the mercy seat, for the Ark of the Covenant.